You're listening to the Secrets of Healthcare Marketing Podcast. How will Trump's presidency affect the Affordable Care Act in your practice? Should you create a concierge practice and stop taking insurance? What are the best, brightest, and most successful healthcare professionals doing to stay competitive in their practices? What can you do to provide top-notch healthcare without having to see one patient every 4 minutes just to stay afloat? You need to discover how to have a thriving practice, regardless of changes in the law, insurance, medical billing codes, and other obstacles that get in your way. And now, here's your host, Richard Jacobs.
Hi, this is Richard Jacobs with the Secrets of Healthcare Marketing Podcast. Today, my guest is Dr. Adam Schaffner, plastic surgeon in New York City. How are you doing, Dr. Schaffner?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good, and I appreciate you taking the time. This will be good. So first question is, I just gave the basic statement that you're a plastic surgeon, but tell listeners a little bit about your practice, what you focus on, and how long you've been practicing.
I've been a doctor since 1998. I'm in private practice in New York City. I'm triple board certified in plastic surgery, facial plastic surgery, and head and neck surgery. And the focus of my practice is aesthetic procedures, non-invasive, minimally invasive, and surgical of the face, breast, and body.
And okay, are there parts of plastic surgery that you could do but you choose not to do? You know, what are some examples of those procedures that you don't do and maybe why?
I don't do cleft lip or cleft palate. I don't do a lot of advanced reconstruction with respect to pediatrics, craniofacial, things of that nature. Refer those to specialists in those areas who concentrate. I don't do a lot of complex hand surgery. So the focus of my practice is primarily aesthetic, cosmetic of the face, breast, and body.
Yeah, so for breast, I know there's breast augmentation, maybe reconstruction, face, I know, facelifts. What else, what other kind of procedures do you commonly do in the areas you work in?
Commonly do breast lifts, breast augmentations, breast reductions, breast reconstructions, revision augmentations, lifts, reductions, and reconstructions. A lot of the principles that we use in reconstruction are actually of benefit in doing revision cosmetic procedures. For the face, do facelifts, as well as eyelid lifts, submental liposuction, nose jobs, ear pinning or otoplasty, in the body region, tummy tucks, liposculpture, liposuction, advanced body contouring, shaping and sculpting. So we try to help patients who have had children and have had changes to their body, and mommy makeover is the common marketing term for that, but trying to really restore a woman's appearance to reverse some of the changes associated with pregnancy.
And you said you do revision surgery. Is that, to be crude, fixing possible mistakes from other procedures, or what is revision surgery?
It's not necessarily mistakes. Sometimes, even in the best of hands, complications can occur, or there were undesired results. And so, yeah, some people would view it as fixing other people's work. The television show Botched has certainly popularized that. But most of the time it's procedures which were done by competent surgeons, which just did not have the desired result that the patient had hoped for and oftentimes that the doctor had hoped for. And, yes, sometimes there are situations where we are fixing other doctors' work that truly need fixing.
What about if someone had a procedure X number of years ago? Is there do these things, quote unquote, wear out, where you have to get them redone after a number of years? Are they permanent?
It's not quite like a car where you have 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty or need an oil change or tire rotation. But certainly, we don't stop the aging process, and we don't stop the effects of gravity. And so, you would expect over time that the results seen from a facelift or the results seen from a breast lift would be less as the years went on.
Makes sense. Okay. And why did you pick these areas to work in? What do you get out of doing this?
It's certainly rewarding to see patients feel good about themselves, able to help men and women of all ages to address their concerns and hopefully improve their self-esteem, their self-confidence, and that is certainly a benefit. In addition, I volunteer with a number of organizations, including Reconstructing Hope, for which I serve as medical director, to help victims of domestic violence on a pro bono basis. So we certainly try to help people feel better about themselves, whether it's from a cosmetic perspective or reconstructive perspective.
That's great. Okay. Can you take us to the evolution of your practice? What did it look like when it started, and how has it changed over the years?
Well, it's much busier now than when I first started. That much I can assure you. So that's one big difference. But when I first came out of training, I was concentrating in a much more diverse venue, seeing more patients in the hospital, emergency rooms, working in multiple offices. And as time has gone on and my practice has advanced, limited my practice to being here in Midtown Manhattan, and the majority of my work is done here in the private practice environment.
What do you attribute your increase in the number of patients to? Is it just you became a known name, or is it your board certifications you think helped, or what went into it?
Yeah, I mean, certainly being board certified, and especially in multiple specialties, having the fellowship training certainly lends credibility. Certainly referrals by other providers is a benefit. Referrals by other patients is a benefit. And then, of course, when people are happy, they tell others, and whether it's friends, family, or colleagues, and they refer others. And I think that that's sort of just how any practice would grow.
Do you feel like you're at capacity now? Do you want to keep growing, or where do you see yourself going from here?
Absolutely, would love to keep growing. So have the ability to continue to help other people would always be a pleasure.
All right. To keep at your current level and to grow, do you have to do any marketing, or is it referral, word of mouth, and your credentials that are doing it for you?
I mean, I certainly have a website where people can read and get information about me and my practice. I don't do paid advertising, and really wanted the practice to grow by evolution and word of mouth, as opposed to doing a lot of paid advertising, and that's sort of how I've grown my practice.
And how do you think other surgeons and the public perceives doctors that do paid advertising? Do you think they have a high or low opinion, or it's just another type of marketing?
I think it's another type of marketing. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. Certainly there are people who will have billboards and people who will have, magazine articles or newspaper ads or things like that, and I think that they're all very acceptable as long as they comply with all the appropriate standards as set forth by the societies. I think it's perfectly, reasonable.
Okay. And what would you tell, plastic surgeons or other doctors just starting out? Any recommendations on what they should do to grow their practice?
Treat every patient like they're a member of your family. Be honest. Work hard. Do your best for every patient. Work within your skill set. Work within your knowledge base. Don't overreach. Try to underpromise and overdeliver. And I think that, you have to realize that if you're available, if you're able, and you're affable, the three A's, if you will, that I think that ultimately, with time, that the practice will grow and become successful.
Yeah, it makes sense. Do you interact with other doctors and surgeons, and do you see what they do in their practices and any wisdom from that or suggestions you have?
Absolutely. I mean, I interact with many different surgeons, not only in plastic surgery, but in other specialties. And you always learn something from other surgeons and from other practices. And what I would say is that you have to concentrate on not only external forces, but also internal forces, making sure that you have a very efficient practice and trying to minimize any sort of disruptions and making sure the patient experience is as good as the medical care.
Are you seeing, are you seeing any difference in patients from when you started in 98 to now? Do they act different, talk different?
Patients certainly have very high expectations, and that they desiring not only to have good medical care, but to have it be in a very customer-friendly environment and an efficient manner.
Okay, any other differences due to, you know, let's say the pervasiveness of the internet and WebMD and reviews and things like that? Anything else you're noticing that's different?
Certainly people will go online and vet you in advance. They know a lot about you in advance. They're able to read reviews, as you state. They're able to go ahead and look at before and after photos. They're able to get your credentials. And I think that's a good thing that patients have that sort of openness.
Hmm. How critical would you say it is for a doctor to build up reviews online and build up their online presence? So when they are vetted, there's things to find, and you know they get the call.
I think it's very important. It establishes street credibility, if you will, no different than it would be if the internet were not around. You need to have people know who you are, and sort of this is basically a virtual way to have street credibility.
And you know, what about for beginning doctors? You know, if you don't have any reviews, is it a catch-22 that you find, or? Any suggestions on what you can do?
It's hard when you're starting out. There's no question about it. But ultimately, there are going to be some patients who put their faith and trust in you, and hopefully that you are able to earn their trust over time, and that you can ask those patients if they feel comfortable to leave an online review reflecting their thoughts on their experience, and that will hopefully help other patients who are considering using that doctor.
Any reservations patients have when they talk to you? Do they feel like they're being indulgent by having themselves worked on, or they're happy to do so? Any psychological insights from what you do?
Some people will call plastic surgeon shrinks with a scalpel, and there's certainly a number of people who do feel that they are sort of being selfish. But what I say is that people are investing in themselves, and when you go ahead and invest in yourself, you're not only helping, you know, their own self-esteem, but hopefully helping them be better towards others, whether it's personal or professional.
Okay. And I know that you're fee-based, but do you see that the Affordable Care Act has affected people's ability to have fee-based procedures that are not covered by insurance?
Well, it's really a non-issue in that regard because of the fact, as you just said, it's not covered by insurance, so it's completely separate from any sort of insurance issues that are going on, which certainly are complex and challenging. But if it's a cosmetic procedure, cosmetic procedures never have to date, and in my opinion, probably never will be covered by health insurance. And so if it's reconstructive or if it's something that is deemed medically necessary by an insurance carrier, that's different. But if it's purely cosmetic, that's something that's fee-for-service and no different than any other thing that's not covered by health insurance.
Yeah, the reason I ask is that the ACA, you know, has required people to have insurance, and because the premiums for it have gone up and up, I don't know if that's eating into people's ability to do these elective procedures and to pay for them. Or I don't know if you noticed that or if it's not a big deal.
Usually if people want a cosmetic procedure, they're going to find a way to take care of the financial responsibility, whether it's cash, check, credit card, patient financing, you know, co-signing with others. So they have a number of resources that they can draw from should they desire to move forward. As far as the Affordable Care Act is concerned, you know, they have a choice to either comply with federal law and obtain insurance or to not obtain insurance and then have to pay the penalty that's imposed with the noncompliance. You know, that's something where it's totally separate from, you know, cosmetic surgery or plastic surgery.
Okay, right. And then just a little bit about your credentials. You have 3 board certifications. That sounds unusual. I would think it's pretty rare that doctors get so many. What motivated you to do that? I'm sure it's a lot of work and time and effort, and what do you feel like the benefit has been to you and to patients?
I mean, I think the benefit has been the fact that I have the knowledge, training, judgment, and skill to be able to provide, you know, quality care and deliver beautiful results to patients who desire plastic surgery. Yes, it was a lot of work, and yes, it is a lot of time, and certainly it was a great investment of resources, but I think ultimately worth it.
Any other training that you feel like really improved your ability to help patients? You talked about a fellowship, and what else have you done?
Fellowships in facial plastic surgery affiliated with Stanford and in breast and body contouring and aesthetic surgery at Georgetown. I think that those really helped would not only provide me with experience, but also judgment that will benefits my patients.
Okay, very good. And last couple of questions. Any advice you have for aspiring plastic surgeons or other doctors, you know, things that you might have done differently or you think that they should do that would help them grow how they want to grow?
I would say that you have to have a business plan, establish a vision, establish a mission, a purpose, goals, short-term and long-term, and then develop a plan with trusted advisors to help you get there.
Okay, short and sweet. All right. And then lastly, for people listening, if they want to get in contact with your office to either find out more what you do from a patient side or from a maybe a shared knowledge side, what's the best way for people to contact you?
They can either call us at 212-688-6600, or they can go to www.drschaffner, that's drschaffner.com.
All right, very good. And anything I should have asked you that we didn't cover you'd like to talk about?
I think you were very thorough, and certainly if anyone has any questions or is interested in learning more about any cosmetic plastic surgery procedures, be happy to address any questions that they have.
Okay. Well, very good, sir. I appreciate your time. And short, sweet, and very much to the point. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care, sir. Bye.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Healthcare Marketing podcast with Richard Jacobs. If you've decided it's time to take your practice to the next level, to gain more patients, better patients, or provide extensive better healthcare to the patients you already have, and you're thinking about going to concierge cash practice route, or if you just want to improve your marketing, contact us at conciergehealthcare.marketing.